Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another hour of Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Is it an hour or is it 40?
Okay, well, it's 55 minutes if you hit from the first to the last.
Oh, so it's more.
This just rounded out.
Oh, my gosh.
Wake up, everybody.
I have a lot more to say than that.
I know you do. You always do. No, it's 55 minutes from the time the show starts to the, well, okay, 54 minutes. 55 seconds.
No, hang on a second. I just opened a can of worms.
54 minutes.
See, they're all crawling out now.
15. It's like 5 seconds at the end that I don't get, or 10 seconds or something. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Don't start off the show like that ever again. Don't ever go there.
It's fun, though.
I know it's fun. But anyway, I'm your host, Roger Metz, joined by my co-host,
Taylor Metz, if you don't know my name already.
Oh, I know your name. I was just waiting for you to fill it in.
Oh, okay.
Yes. See, why would I say your name when you're here?
Well, I don't know.
I only talk about you when you're not here.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
That's why I haven't heard from any of my friends lately.
What's that?
I haven't heard from any of my friends.
What friends?
The friends that were your friends that I stole.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
So you probably told them something bad about me.
I have perfect right to do it if I did it. Feed and clothe you. Yes. They give you a place to sleep.
Pshaw.
So, anyway.
Nobody cares.
Hey, the leaves are really starting to get colorful out there. And, well, I tell you, if the temps hold up, you know, it can start feeling more like fall here.
It's hot.
It's gotten hot. It was hot last week. I'm ever hopeful.
I like cold weather.
I don't like temperature, the time change. Oh, I hate this time change. Can we just opt out of it this year? I mean, if we really want to cap off 2020, let's just ignore the time change. That would be a good thing.
I would like that.
Yeah, and Halloween at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Happy Halloween, by the way.
Happy Halloween. I said ignore Halloween.
But Halloween's like one of my favorite.
I know it is.
Let's not ignore it.
Okay. All right. I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of kids out there trick-or-treating, and good for them. Parents that are taking them out there.
That's getting outside.
Yeah, and their kids. Low-risk group. All right. We're going to lighten the mood. I mean, the election is this coming week, and I'm sure if I hear one more Jamie Harrison or one more I have a mental block to saying his name, Lindsey Graham. If I hear one more of those advertisements, I'm just going to explode. Watch me. I'll leave the show, turn on football, and that'd be the first thing I see is one of those, and I'm just going to destroy the TV. I mean, I have a sledgehammer ready. I'm just going to take the sledgehammer to the TV. I'm so sick of politics.
All over the radio, too.
I know.
Can't get away from it. But
anyway, it will all be over soon.
It will.
One way or the other, and everybody can kind of go back to normal life. The old normal.
Praise. Not the new normal.
Not this new, which is not normal. The old thing.
The old thing.
Like me, an old thing. Got a good one there. We're going to lighten up the atmosphere here. There's a story. Josh Honeycutt, author of Brow Tines and Backstraps, has a little thing, the worst hunting hashtags. And it's hashtag cleaning up social media one terrible tag at a time. These aren't the worst hunting hashtags. No, the worst ones are so egregious I can't publish them, but of those that are at least passable for a family-friendly website or radio show, these are the ones that we can't keep using. Some are silly, outdated, or both, and others are simply in poor taste. Be original. The first one, hashtag smoked him. This is just silly. We're talking about cigarettes, country hams, or Boston butts. This is deer hunting, and you don't smoke anything. The only time you smoked him should appear on the gram as if you're actually smoking a hindquarter on the Traeger.
That's a good one.
You got one.
I do. Hit list. Deer hunting is not a James Bond movie. The last time I checked, there aren't any whitetails on the FBI movies most wanted. Oh, gracious. You got another one.
Dirt nap. Hashtag dirt nap. This is old. I think it was a hashtag before hashtags were real. It's washed up, folks. Time to retire it and find its successor.
Trophy hunting. Hashtag trophy hunting. This one I truly agree with. It gives hunters a bad image. We aren't apologizing for killing big animals. We like killing big animals. In fact, we like it so much that we have to record books filled with many details on those dead big animals.
That's a small part of hunting.
Yeah, it is.
Not the reason most people hunt. And trophy hunting here in North America is not the same as trophy hunting in Africa. Let's just get that out of the way. It's just not the same. But yeah, trophy hunting.
Who even does that?
I don't know. I see it a lot. Lots of people.
My deer. No,
This is a current one on Facebook deer hunting groups right now.
See,
my deer.
I was just about to say that.
Holy smoke.
Especially in like hunt clubs and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Any hunting groups, they claim a deer. Any deer is free range, hon. But some people think just because they own a piece of land that they own a deer on it.
That's what we left in Europe. When we came over here, we left that in Europe.
Not America.
Not America. We did not bring that process to America.
You can take mine. You haven't done one.
No, I'll just go here. Okay. Hashtag October lull. Hey, we're in the latter part of October. I've seen this one actually as topics of posts and all. If you're going to use a hashtag, at least do your research first. The October lull isn't even a real thing. There's some studies conducted on that by biologists, and that deer movement, including daylight, during daylight hours, increases gradually through summer and fall, peaks during the rut, and then tapers off. So it's a natural. It's not a lull.
People eating tasty animals.
Yes.
Quit drawing attention to PETA. All this hashtag does is validate them as an organization. Don't do that. Just let their brand rot in a hole somewhere in the middle of Norfolk, Virginia.
You're having fun with this, aren't you?
This is too funny. Maybe it's because I'm really tired. This is just
hilarious.
You're
really tired. Okay. Yeah, you and your mom get giggly when you get tired. the last one that's fit to talk about. Ground shrinkage. Hashtag ground shrinkage. You shot a deer. Don't show disrespect by saying it's smaller than you thought. Every deer is a trophy, and we've talked about this before. The next time you shoot a little buck, slap a hashtag big enough on the harvest photo. I mean, don't apologize for it.
No.
Own it. I mean, you obviously owned it enough in the stand to pull the trigger. So own it on social media.
Exactly.
And if you don't want to own it on social media, don't post it. That's a simple thing. You know you're going to take it. You know you're going to get it from all the trophy hunters on the sites. So just keep it off. We didn't do it. Assassin. Hashtag assassin. Deer hunting is fun. We laugh. We have a good time. No one does any assassinating around here. Some animals have become venison, and we eat the venison. That's it. I love this.
I love how
straightforward he is. We need to do this again next year. Wait a minute. Let's see. Page 1, 2, and 3. Oh, I only printed 3. That's right.
Okay.
Because the article ends, it's just advertising after that. So, well, if you go to print an article, it's 8 pages long. There's 3 pages of the article and 5 pages of
advertisements
ads after that.
And everything. Yep.
So, yeah, I agree, folks. Be original, you know, or
be
tell
classy.
A story. Tell a story. Mm-hmm. Take time and tell the story of the hunt. Mm-hmm. That is so much more important. Actually, than what you brought home.
And a deer, just remember, a deer is a deer. A deer is meat for your family. It doesn't matter how big it is.
It is a naturally reproducing,
Oh, gosh.
Brain freeze.
He was in the middle of a really good thought.
Brain freeze.
just kind of left.
Natural resource, and it reproduces every year. I mean, it's not like we don't have any more out there. Mm-hmm. Every year there's more. Although, South Carolina, down to about 700,000 animals estimated after the coyotes came in. So, hang on. We're going to talk to Neil Paul about something we got brewing. And then Mike Leonard from American Sport Fishing Association is going to be here in the last segment to talk about some stuff happening in Congress. So, y'all hang on. Back with More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hi, I'm Dan Patrick. The Brad Paisley Bass Invitational set to get underway in Nashville. And when it comes to the host himself,
you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. We'll provide updates throughout the day here at SportsCenter.
This is just for you, Neil.
Well, I love her.
You there?
Yep.
All right. Well, you didn't no reaction on the music here. I was.
Well, I didn't know if we were live or not.
Yeah, we're live.
Oh, this is good. That's definitely my song.
Your song. I mean, yes. That is a great video. Is it Little Jimmy Dickens? Is that who's in it? The little short guy in it.
Gosh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I haven't seen the video. That song's on like 3 or 4 of my playlists.
Yeah.
But I've not seen the video in so long. I actually had forgotten about the Dan Patrick intro at the beginning. So
damn it,
I've got to brush up on my Brad Paisley videos.
Hank Parker's in that one. You know, they're buying fish from some people. just a great video.
Hey,
yeah.
If I could, I haven't fished in so long.
Oh,
as bad as it sounds, I'd go buy fish from people right now if I could.
Oh, me. Well, you've had a lot of fun being Bass's marshal on the spot here for the last few events.
That's been a lot of fun.
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. Folks, I haven't introduced him. If you listen to the show any time, you know who I'm talking to. It's Neil Paul, who's the executive director of Visit Anderson. Sorry about that, Neil. We just started off like we start off every conversation, just talking.
That's okay. You may have lost some listeners once they found out who it was.
I doubt that.
But, you know, if you had told me that, hey, you're going to get a chance to go out in the fall and spend 3 weeks in a row on three destination lakes, Gunnersville, Santee Cooper, and Lake Chickamauga in Dayton, Tennessee, but you're not going to be able to pack a rod with you, like I'd have told you were crazy, like all bets were off. But to have spent 12 days on three destination fisheries with
a lot of
in the
people.
Boat in the boat with some of the top anglers in the world, and just watching how they, you know, unlock a fishery of that magnitude, it was an incredible 3 weeks. I mean, it really was.
And you and I were together for a couple of days down on Santee. Man, what a place!
Yeah,
beautiful place.
Absolutely. And you know, and what's funny is, you know, like, and you, I think you and I are smart enough to know, like, we didn't even catch the fisheries at their most.
That's right.
At their best time.
Toughest times for some of them.
You know, it was still just, you know, again, we got to spend 2 days together out there. And that was, you know, what a great time as always. But to spend 12 days on the water over the course of 3 weeks with again some of the top anglers in the world, watching them work was just fantastic.
And folks, if you were watching Bass Live on any of those three, you might have been looking at anglers through Neil's camera, because you did a lot of Bass Live for him, and actually writing a blog for him too every time.
Yeah, it's got a chance to do some writing this year. I'd marshaled, you know, there's one elite event left, and there are no marshals at that event because it's a catch, weigh, and release format for Texas Fest.
Right.
So there'll be judges in the boat. So for 8 elite events this year, I marshaled in half of them. So I had an opportunity to marshal 4 events. I had a chance to ride, spend the days with some terrific anglers. Got a chance to write, do some writing for Bass, obviously some Skype work, and things like that. So it was exciting, and it was a great way to burn some vacation days and catch up on some great time in the outdoors, particularly the lakes.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Taylor and I've lost Taylor because she had to go study for a test she's got to take. So she's steam coming out of her ears. She's back there beating the books up. We didn't do a calendar events because I knew you were coming on, and I knew that there were some events going down at Green Pond that are coming up over the next 3 weeks or so between now and Thanksgiving. So I wanted to let Neil Paul from Visit Anderson present the calendar of events brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Landing Event Center. So what you got coming up?
So from, you know, we've got a lot going on the next few weeks from a fishing standpoint. So Fishers of Men, the Fishers of Men National Tournament Trail will be in town this week for a wild card event. It's actually the second event like this that they've hosted. All the district championships are over. Their national championship is on Lake Gunnersville in the spring of 21. And this is kind of a last ditch effort for guys that want to fish on Gunnersville in the spring, want to fish that national championship. They can get registered and get in this wild card event and it will fish out of Green Pond on Lake Hartwell on Friday and Saturday this week. So October 30th and 31st, the Fishers of Men wild card will take place out of Green Pond on Lake Hartwell. And then next week, we roll right into the American Bass Anglers ABA Ray Scott Championship. And most folks recognize the name Ray Scott as the really the godfather of tournament bass fishing. And Ray Scott, the Ray Scott Championship will take place next week. It's a four-day event, Wednesday, November the 4th through Saturday, November the 7th. That will also launch out of Green Pond Landing and take place on Lake Hartwell. The full field of anglers is set. We have 158 boats registered for that event. The full field will fish Wednesday and Thursday. They will cut the field in half for Friday, and the top 25 will fish on Saturday.
Gotcha. ABA, and now that's then, that's the one that Andy Wicker, no.
Well, Andy Wicker won the AFT
championship in 2015.
Which is one of ABA's championships in 2015. And then Jason Burrows, another local angler, from down close to Greenwood, South Carolina. Jason won the Ray Scott Championship when we hosted it here in 2016, and he eclipsed the 80-pound mark for 4 days. And he had 80 pounds and a handful of ounces and won in 2016. So obviously did a good job there, and Jason's won a lot of events and cashed a lot of checks in this part of the state. But so we've got that event coming up in next week, and then the roll right into the following week, November the 11th through the 13th. It's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're hosting FLW's BFL All-American.
Okay.
And so the All-American will take place at and actually I kind of note that the Ray Scott Championship was originally scheduled for April,
right?
And due to the COVID pandemic, was moved to next week. And then the All-American was scheduled for late April, early May, and was moved until the 11th through the 13th of November. And then fall into the next week, FLW will be back in town on November the, I believe it's the 20th and 21st.
Okay.
Is a Friday and Saturday for back-to-back college and high school event. I think it's a college FLW college event on the 20th and an FLW high school event on the 21st. So the next time we get a chance to sit down and have a break on a weekend, it will be
Thanksgiving
to try and relax ourselves after gorging on Thanksgiving. But it's been a great fall. I mean, it's a tremendous fall for us, and at a time when – you know, for us, when the football crowd's been tempered a little bit with the attendance restrictions placed on the football games over at Clemson, you know, we're able to keep the fishing tournaments in here throughout the fall and be able to put folks in our hotel rooms, folks in our restaurants, buying gas at the gas stations, and the outdoor sports, particularly fishing, has been the one thing that has seemed to survive
that went flourish
so far.
Flourish.
Absolutely. The fishing industry has flourished as a whole, and we even added, you know, we the tournaments that we had scheduled in the spring, we lost one that we weren't able to reschedule.
That
we
was an FLW event.
The FLW Pro event, correct. And then we moved a 2-day crappie tournament to 2021. Everything else we rescheduled for the fall.
Wow.
We actually picked up a couple of events because they weren't able to take place in other locations. So it's been a good fall. It's, you know, I think we're just like everybody else. We want to get kind of our wits about us and get back to normal, but it's coming.
It's coming. Well, look, I don't want to get into what we really got to talk about with a couple, 3 minutes left. Going back to marshalling and being around all the elite guys and stuff like that, what have they had to say about the fall fishing? I mean, we all watched it, and it's, you know, I hate to use this word, and I'm not going to, it's been really tough because I don't like the other word. What the reaction in the boat, the talk on the ramp and stuff like that, And I've talked to a couple of guys. I just want to get your opinion. What have they been saying about it? We got about 2 minutes or so.
For the most part, the guys that I've spent time in the boat with have been, honestly, the overwhelming comments have been geared toward their genuine appreciation to the folks at Bass for the work and the effort that was put in to being able to deliver a full mm-hmm. schedule.
Yep.
Because when the dust settles at Lake Fork in a few weeks, they will have fished a full season and able to get all nine events in. Now, yep. It wasn't the same nine events that they started with when the schedule in the season started, but that organization was able to deliver nine events to their anglers, and the guys were able to complete a season, fulfill sponsor obligations, and have an opportunity to compete at the highest level. So there was, you know, you got some guys that wanted to be able to deer hunt and guys that wanted to go to football and spend time with family and have the downtime to unwind. But the overall general consensus was appreciation for being able to fish a full season.
Yeah. Got about a minute left. Who'd you spend time with?
Gunnersville, I had an opportunity to go out all 4 days, and I spent a day with Hunter Shryock, Brandon Card, Scott Canterbury, and then Brandon Cobb on the final day in the top 10.
Okay.
Santee was a little different. I had an opportunity to bounce around. It was a lot of guys. I think I counted up at the end. It was like 16 or 18 different guys I was able to get in the boat with over 4 days. And then most recently here at Chick, a couple of weeks ago, I was able to spend 2 days with Austin Felix, who's currently your Rookie of the Year.
Fishing in pajamas.
Yeah, fishing in pajama pants. They're actually golf pants, yes. As he pointed out.
They look like pajamas.
They look like pajama pants. Lee Livesey on day one, who actually won the event after 4 days. And then on day two, Chad Pipkins, and had the opportunity to shoot video of Chad putting a 7-Eleven
in the boat
on day two, which was a lot of fun.
Pretty cool. All right, well, hang out, because all you people that out there have kids who fish, high school fishing, middle school, high school fishing, this next segment you're not going to want to miss. So we'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina in a few minutes. Okay, we're gonna pull that down because we got some pretty cool news, Neil. Back with Neil Paul, executive director of Visit Anderson, and it's been a long road, my friend. But I think we're not at the finish line; we're at the starting line.
No question, absolutely.
We did. For those of you who don't know, weren't around back then, or didn't have kids who fished the high school and middle school tournament trails, and now there's three of them in South Carolina. You and I put on, or it was your idea, and you brought me into it, and together we put on two events in 2017. And in January 2017, December 2017, we put on something called the High School Bass Class. Learning experience, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But a great learning experience.
Great learning experience. I mean, we came up with an idea and came up with a schedule and a format that put kids in classrooms with professionals. We had keynote speaker. In the next event, we added a career day. And over the last few years, we have taken that, massaged it down, bounced it off people, kind of got a finished product that we think really works. But let's talk about 2017, learning years. But, man, we had some great people in those classrooms and some great speakers.
Absolutely, and a lot of credit goes out to some other folks to help us out. You know, this was a concept that I had spent a couple of years kind of kicking around in my head, and had the opportunity to share it with you on a car ride coming home from ICAST from Daytona, or Orlando, rather, all the way back to the upstate of South Carolina. And fortunately, you didn't unlock the car and roll out onto the interstate. It was something that, you know, I think we both share a passion for fishing in this case, and for helping others, and particularly young people, having an impact on young people. And and it was a program what I like to call is the kind of like the travel baseball of high school fishing. It's a program that's designed to give kids that are serious about fishing an opportunity to improve their fishing skills through a classroom experience, but also to learn more about the conservation side of fishing, also the
management side, the
marketing,
the
business side,
the business side of fishing,
and understand that there's a business to it, but then also learn about the career side of it as well. Everybody that fishes is not everybody's going to be Kevin Van Dam or Jordan Lee or somebody like that. Guys, you can make a living in this industry and love to fish, and there's nothing wrong with that. So being able to introduce a college element to it and a career element to it was kind of the whole package that we put together.
Yep. I mean, we had Gerald Swindle as a keynote speaker. We had Randy Howell as a Sunday motivational speaker. We had, oh gosh, Brandon Cobb, Brian Latimer, Chris Lane, Justin Lucas. Who am I missing here?
To give some credit to those guys, our very first event, there were so many unknowns.
Oh, gosh.
Just so many things you and I didn't know. And putting it together.
About how all this worked,
yeah. But we had a lot of people to pitch in and help us out, I think.
Marty Walker, especially.
A lot of credit goes to, folks like Marty Walker, Palmetto Boat Center, who runs the upstate, the high school fishing trail here in the upstate, the Palmetto Boat Center trail. And he offered a lot of insight. And obviously we had, with his trail and the success of his trail, we kind of had a ready-made base of student anglers to test this program on. And then we had guys like Justin Lucas and Chris Lane and Ott Defoe and Gerald Swindle that were willing to take – Britt Myers that were willing to take a chance on us this first time out and say, hey, I'll come and speak. I'll come be a part of this event.
Yep.
I'll come help you guys get the first one off the ground. And they did, and it helped propel us to be able to have a second event where then we were able to get guys like – local guys like Casey Ashley, Marty Robinson, Brandon Cobb, Brian Latimer, and then Jordan Lee and Dustin Connell and guys and Ronnie Moore.
Yeah, Ronnie came down.
A lot of folks know Ronnie from Bassmaster Live, and those guys were able to come and participate in the second event. And then by the time we had the second event, we were convinced that we had something that not only we could grow locally, but we could grow it and take it to other parts of the country.
Yep.
And we felt like it was something that other folks in the industry would want to jump on board and something you could buy into.
So quickly, we got about 6 minutes left. Go ahead and announce it. We're having another one.
Well, we are. We're having another one. We're having our third high school bass class event here in Anderson. It will take place at the Hilton Garden Inn here in Anderson on Saturday, December 12th and Sunday, December 13th. A little different look this year, a little different program, but still the same commitment to the young people. And we've been able to secure some sponsorship. One, at this time, we can announce that it will be the Berkeley Abu Garcia High School Bass Class.
Yep.
And so we've been able to develop a really good relationship with the folks at Pure Fishing, and they have a student angler program of their own that they want to, obviously promote and get folks excited about, but they've got an invested interest in this program, and they've come on as our title sponsor. So Berkeley and Abu Garcia is going to be our title sponsor, the high school bass class, and we're really excited about that. They've got a lot of product that they've sent our way that we're going to be able to give away to all of our registrants.
A little bit.
And and we've been stacking boxes.
Counting
hooks and worms and crankbaits for weeks. So they're on board. We've got a supporting sponsor in Plano that has come on board with us. So I think most folks would, if you've ever fished in your life, you've probably carried a Plano tackle box. At some point, and Plano's on board with us, and we've got some other partners that we're getting ready to announce, but just not quite ready to get those rolled out yet. But I can assure you it'll be names and partners in this industry that you'll recognize. And the event will have, we're going to roll out a website soon where we'll provide some online registration opportunities. And this year's event, like I said, it's going to take place at the Hilton Garden Inn Saturday, December 12th, Sunday, December 13th. And we're opening up to all high school and middle school anglers to participate.
And we already have, we don't know exactly the six anglers, the professionals will be in the classrooms every day, but we do have a keynote speaker down for Saturday night, and he is?
Hank Cherry, Bassmaster Classic champion Hank Cherry,
2020.
Has agreed to come and did speak. I say 2020?
I said, you didn't say a date, I just said 2020.
Oh, the 2020 Classic, yeah. 2020 Classic champion Hank Cherry is going to come and share his story and share some things with us as our Saturday night keynote speaker. The program, we'll have a general session on Saturday. We'll have classroom instruction, and that'll be topped off with a dinner. We have a networking lunch on Saturday. Which is provided.
Yep.
And then dinner's provided on Saturday night with the keynote speaker being Hank Cherry. We'll have a lot of other sponsor prizes and sponsor information. And then Sunday will be our career day, college and career day. And so we'll have a schedule for that. And the cost is $95 per student. The $95 includes your registration for the event, your lunch on Saturday, your networking lunch on Saturday, dinner on Saturday night, and breakfast on
Sunday morning.
On Sunday morning, as well as a shirt and a gift bag as well that will be filled with
stuff.
Sponsor gifts. it will be, I can assure you, if you're a young high school angler, middle school angler, and you register for this program, you're going to go home with a lot more than the $95 spent to put you through the program. I can assure you that.
And essentially what we'll have on Saturday, we have a registration from 8 to 10. Beginning at 10:15, we have 45-minute class sessions with 15-minute breaks in between. And those class sessions will have two professional anglers in them who will teach whatever they feel like teaching. We're not limiting them to this topic. We'll have four of those class sessions with four rotating classes of students, and each class session there will be a group of students who are free to be in the hallway interacting with sponsors, with colleges, with whatever. They'll have a free time during the day to do what they want to do. Sunday we'll have five sessions, a motivational speaker Sunday morning, and then four industry speakers who will talk about professions in the fishing industry. So, man, I know it's been a long road, and we got about a minute left, Neil. It all seems like it's finally coming together.
It is. It's been a blessing. I'm very thankful to have, obviously, somebody, a partner as passionate as you are and willing to embark on this journey with us. And then, obviously, very excited to have partners that we do that are willing to share in this vision and the vision for the kids and the young people, because they're the future of our industry, they're the future of fishing, and this is a great opportunity to make an impact on those kids.
Absolutely. Well, the website is highschoolbassclass.com. Registration information will be all there. It tells about it, shows you some of the stuff that we've done before, and I'm looking forward to December the 12th and 13th. It'll be fun to watch those kids.
It'll be a great time. Thank you.
Yep. All right, man. Hang on. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side.
I've got a bite. Sounds like maybe you shouldn't be with any girl. You should be with a fish.
I've thought about that.
You know, as a final thought today, I was thinking, why can't these people just get along?
I hope you're happy, Brad.
It's awfully low, Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened when I recorded that bumper. There we go. That's more like it. We have a guest. Mm-hmm. So we have to let this roll for a minute because we're going to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on a second.
Heading down south to the land of the
Tell me we think it's enough. Is this enough?
Yeah,
I think it's enough. staring up. I think it's enough. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I have a returning guest, Taylor. I didn't know it's been a few years since he's been on, but when I called his number, it came up on my phone. Mm-hmm. So he has been on the show before, and he's back for some reason or another. I don't know why these people keep doing this, but they do, and I appreciate it. Mike Leonard from American Sport Fishing Association. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. And before we get going, Taylor has a question to ask you.
So did you get a good listen on what song that was?
Yeah, that was Darius Rucker's version of Wagon Wheel. Right?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a win for me.
Okay, so Mike, the game is here. Darius was supposed to be the face of South Carolina tourism in 2020, and then 2020 has gone to you-know-what. But we started playing a game back first of the year. Who is that Darius Rucker hooting the blowfish? And, of course, I'm in the hoodie of the blowfish generation. Taylor's in the Darius Rucker generation, so
feels good
she
to win.
Won this week.
Feels good to win.
So we appreciate you playing along, even though you didn't have a choice.
I'm just glad I answered one of the possible correct answers.
Well, I would have gotten around to asking you, was that Hootie or Darius, and you just answered
right
it right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Gotcha.
Good.
I'm a big country music fan, so that was an easy one for
that
me.
Was an easy
That's
one.
Good.
There you go. Taylor, you're just in heaven right now.
I am.
Mike, take just a minute. Introduce yourself. You're with the American Sport Fishing Association, ASA, as everybody knows it. Tell us just a second about yourself. And ASA, what y'all do up there in Washington? Then we're going to get to a couple of issues in Congress.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks for having us on. Yeah, so American Sport Fishing Association is the trade association representing the recreational fishing industry. So essentially representing companies that make or sell fishing equipment. You know, there in South Carolina, you've got several of our biggest members, Pure Fishing,
yes,
which has many of the most iconic brands that are out there. You know, you got Shimano, you've got Z-Man, Luz, Strike King. So, very important state for us and many of our valued members down there. And South Carolina's a big fishing state as well. So, you know, we're kind of on the economics, the business side of sport fishing, which people don't often, immediately think of. You usually think about the fun and time outside with family and friends, which is all great. And but there's a ton of economics and businesses that rely on the activity too. And that's who we represent. And so we're based just outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And my job is I handle our government affairs program. So work on a lot of legislative, but also regional, federal legislative, but also regional and state policy issues that help ensure that there's a lot of fish out there and that people have the ability to go out and catch them.
That's right. Well, we've got a couple issues to talk about, but we mentioned something about all the, people out here, all the gridlock and all in Washington and all, but you got a message for people, especially sportsmen, of some of the things that are coming out of Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I think folks are pretty aware. You don't have to pay attention to the news too much to know that it's kind of a mess up here, and it's there's a lot of partisanship and fighting and controversy, and everybody's mad at each other and calling each other's names. And you mostly hear about what's not getting done, but from a sportsman's standpoint, it's been pretty unique times that we're in, at least over the last year in particular, where there's actually been some really, really significant legislation get across the finish line, get signed into law that's just great for our whole outdoor heritage, our whole community. Most notably, recently there was a bill called the America's Conservation Enhancement Act,
mm-hmm,
that, believe it or not, passed the House and the Senate without any opposition. Not a single senator or member of the House of Representatives opposed this bill, which it's just hard to find anything these days that can do that.
Yeah.
And it was essentially a bundle of a dozen or so provisions that the hunting and the fishing community all got behind. For waterfowl hunters, reauthorizing the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, which does a ton of great on the ground wetlands restoration work. From our standpoint, there's a similar program that does fish habitat restoration work for folks that like to fish with lead fishing tackle. There was an assurance in there that there's not going to be any unwarranted bans on lead fishing equipment anytime in the near future. Programs for the Chesapeake Bay. A wide range of just really, really good stuff for our community. But like I said, when everybody's fighting and mad and holding grudges over each other about everything, they recognize the importance of this community and this constituency. And we're ultimately able to get it done, which I think shows that these conservation, natural resource issues remain one of those few areas where it doesn't really matter what part of the country you're in or which side of the aisle you're on, that the folks can get behind it and recognize this is all. It's good for the environment. It's good for the public that wants to go out and enjoy it and can actually get it done. So, you hear a lot of bad news. Just wanted to relay there is actually, believe it or not, still some good stuff happening up here, particularly if you care about fishing and hunting.
Absolutely. And you're exactly right. The outdoors is one place that traditionally it doesn't matter. Whether you hunt, fish, you like to take pictures, you're a birder, you're a hiker, camper. I mean, the outdoors is one place you can go and you kind of lose your identity, Mm-hmm. You don't take a lot of what the everyday worry and strife and all that, you don't take that into the woods with you. You leave it back. And when you get in there, it's amazing how much agreement you've got with people that you wouldn't normally think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think this COVID pandemic shown that, when times are tough and you're confronted with these big, existential problems, that people go back to what they care about and what they value. And what we're seeing across the country is people are going outdoors and they're fishing in record numbers. And, that shows that this is really something that people deeply care about. And when you got a little extra time on your hands or you're around with your family and you're sick of being cooped up around the house, and one of the few things that you can actually do is
go
grab
fishing.
A rod and reel and go fish.
That's right.
And do it safely and distance. And kind of by its very nature, you don't want to be right next to other people when you're fishing. So
at least 7-8 feet apart. That's about a rod length.
Exactly. That's what they say, right? Social distancing. So it's been great to show that, this is something that people value and care about. And but at the same time, we've got to make sure that there are policies in place that make sure when you want to go out and do it, you actually have those opportunities and actually have a chance of catching something.
Yep. That's the ASAC. Folks, you can read up on more of that if you're inclined to. Got another big issue that really, I guess came up this year, primarily in California. And we've actually had a version of the California bill introduced in South Carolina. And in response, the hunting and fishing groups have come together and kind of got their own idea. So let's talk about 30 by 30.
Yeah, I think it's funny. When I always think of 30 by 30, I'm reminded we have an initiative in the sport fishing industry called 60 and 60, where we're trying to get to 60 million anglers and the other 50 was 60 months.
Yep.
So I always think 30 by 30 is half as good as 60 by 60 was.
hold you up a second. How is 60 by 60? Are we still – I mean, do we know what's going on there? Or not? Thing?
Yeah, we've been – I think pre-pandemic we were improving. I don't think we would have gotten that 60 mark, which I think runs out at the end of the year 2021. Okay. But, boy, with this COVID pandemic, again, a lot of bad's happening. Yep. But one of the silver linings in here is that people are taking to the outdoors and fishing in record numbers. So we're still waiting to quantify what this uptick is. But I've heard reports of up to 10 million new anglers just over the last 6 months. So that'll get us pretty close to that 60 million number.
Okay, back to 30 by 30.
Yeah, now that said, if something like 30 by 30 comes along, this may all go the other way. So there's a big global environmental initiative called 30 by 30 that the aim is to protect, quote unquote, protect 30% of all lands and waters by the year 2030. Now, as sportsmen, as anglers and hunters, we're all for conservation and making sure that we've got areas that that resources can be sustainable and managed properly. But the problem is people view protect and conserve different ways.
Sure.
And the way this often comes out is, we just need to take a large chunk of an area, just close it off and not let anybody go there, whether it makes sense and whether it's based on science or not. It's a good sound bite. It looks good in press releases, but doesn't actually do any good for the resource.
Right.
So this is starting to come about in U.S. policy. Over the last year, we've seen issues come up. As you mentioned, in California, there was a bill out there that sought to achieve this 30 by 30 goal, but did it in a way that made us really worried that what was going to end up was, you can't go fishing in 30% of the state's lands and waters anymore.
Right.
There was a resolution in Illinois. There was an action in Hawaii that the governor took. And then, believe it or not, South Carolina.
Yes.
If you think of the other states, Hawaii, mm-hmm. California, Illinois, and
common.
South Carolina. Which one of these does not fit with the others? There was a resolution in the state legislature there that was, I think, much more benign and not as sort of a predetermined outcome of there being the potential for closed areas than what we saw in these other states. But sort of came about without our community having much awareness or involvement of it being there. And, and did not go anywhere this past legislative session, but, you know, again, this is just sort of the tip of the iceberg we're starting to see here. Yeah. And we anticipate it coming back up again in the state as well as at the federal level and across all the other states too. And I think it's really, really important for our community to recognize that, you know, this isn't inherently bad. It's not saying, you know, across the board as a predetermined part of this, you're not going to be able to go out and access these areas. But if we don't engage and make our voice heard to make it clear that, you know, hunting, fishing, and our ability to go out there and enjoy these areas is critical to, you know, the stewardship and the conservation of these areas. There's a good chance that other people will write it in a different way and in a way that doesn't serve our interests. So really important that we pay attention to this stuff and engage and make sure that it doesn't go the wrong way. Because like I said, all this increased participation, suddenly you go out and find out, hey, all these areas I wanted to go to, I can't go to anymore
because no this
30 by 30 thing.
Yep. Yep.
You know, we're not in a good place then.
Well, we timed that off. We got about a minute left, but you got Glenn Hughes, the president of ASA, Jeff Crane, Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, Whit from Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, and Gene Gilliland, Becky Humphreys, National Wild Turkey Federation, headquartered here in South Carolina. I mean, you got a great coalition of people on this issue, so maybe we will have a say in our own version of it, and like we all said, keep it open.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think what you saw there was, you know, this community coming together and being proactive as opposed to reacting to this stuff as it comes out, saying, you know, again, this is something we should be for, and let's make sure it's done the right way.
Well, Ken, we really appreciate you hanging out with us for a few minutes. Next time we got something to talk about, don't hesitate to give us a call or shoot us an email, and we'll get you back on.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate y'all having me, and take care, and appreciate all you do.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, folks, as always, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget the camera. See you back next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.